Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Matthew, the chapter 25, and we will read from that chapter, verse 35. Verse 35. I want you to notice that it begins with the word for. Now, that word is usually the beginning of an explanation. Your mum probably said this morning, or possibly said this morning, put your coat on, for it's raining outside. So she explains why she wants you to put your coat on by beginning with the word for. It's a word that's usually linked to an explanation. And the Lord is offering an explanation here in this verse 35. Let's read it. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now, these are wonderful words, and I want us to take a little time in learning some things from them and about them. The Savior here is offering, as I said, an explanation. And what he is explaining is why he said what he did in the verse 34. Remember? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For he's explaining this wonderful invitation that he's giving to the sheep, those on his right hand, the righteous, the saved. He's explaining to them why it is he's inviting them to inherit the glorious kingdom of God. Now, the first thing I want to emphasize is that he is not saying to them, you're getting into heaven because of your wonderful work, because of your holy attitude and holy works. That's not what he's saying. Now, many people believe that is how you get to heaven. Maybe you even believe that. Because believing that is but believing what every person alive on the earth believes naturally. Man thinks that he can impress God and get God's blessing by how he lived. But that's not so. No one ever gained heaven because they lived good lives and therefore deserved it. No one ever earned heaven. Now, in the classroom, I'm sure they have a system of issuing little stars or something similar to that. If you have a good homework, or if you've done something good in class, you get a star or something like that. I might not just be right in saying a star, but you get some good mark, some indication that you've done well. You've earned it. You've earned it. But you don't earn heaven. You don't earn heaven. So I don't want any of you today thinking that I can get to heaven if I'm good. If I obey my mum and dad, if I do well in school, if I attend church, and if I really try hard, I get to heaven. No, boys and girls, that is not so. That's not so. If that is the way to heaven, the Lord Jesus would never have come to this earth, would never have suffered as he did on Calvary's cross and died there. He would never have done anything of that. If getting to heaven depends upon you doing what's good. No. When we read these words then, the Lord Jesus is not saying you're getting into heaven because of the way you live. But rather, he is saying something else. He's telling them that how they lived was an evidence of the grace of God in their lives. It was an evidence that they were born again. It was an evidence that they really were the Lord's people. You're coming into heaven, he says, because during your life you lived, you acted so as to demonstrate that in your heart there was the grace of God placed there by my Father. You're born again, he says. You're going to go to heaven because you're born again and you showed evidence that you were born again. I do want to stress that they weren't getting into heaven because of the good things they did in their life. We could never do enough good things to earn heaven. I've got to show you what it says in the word of God regarding works. If you turn to the second chapter of Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians is the great book on Christian doctrine. The Ephesian church was a very good church. It was a church filled with very good people who understood and were ready to be instructed in the deep things of God, so that you get in the epistle of Paul to the church at Ephesus some of the very clearest Christian teaching. And he says in the chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." As with all the statements inspired by the Holy Spirit, there's so much there, so much there. People today, and I often listen on the news to people being interviewed, and you know, they talk like a chicken and say nothing. It's just gubbly 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 repeat myself, and then they throw in half a dozen times, "you know." That's a standard phrase, people's lips today. They'll say to you, or start off telling you something, and before they've told you anything, they say, "you know." Well, I don't know, for you haven't told me anything yet. But again and again, you'll find language has so deteriorated, and verbal exchanges and conversation between people have so deteriorated, chiefly, I'm sure, by modern communication like texting. Because everything is abbreviated, until if you're not really up with the abbreviations that are found in the world of texting, you wouldn't understand what is being said in a text. It's all two letters instead of a word, and one word instead of a sentence, and so on. But that's not the case in the Bible. There you have wonderful expressions filled with satisfying and edifying truth. Look at that verse again. Verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved." The word grace means free, undeserved favor. God has favored you who did not deserve his favor by saving you. So every Christian knows from that verse, I'm saved not because I deserved it, not because I earned it, but because God freely favored me. He did a favor for me that I didn't deserve. "By grace are ye saved through faith." That was the channel. I obtained God's salvation by exercising faith in God's promise. He spoke, I believe, I obeyed. That's how you get saved. You will never get saved if you hear the gospel but never, never obey it. When God calls for repentance, you don't repent. You don't heed that call. You'll never be saved. I don't care. Should you take your bed and move into the church and live there 24 hours a day, you'll never be saved unless you, by faith, embrace the promise of God. Take Christ as your Savior. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Paul, you see, was most anxious that he get across to the people that salvation is of God. It's not of us. So he says, "By grace are you saved. By the favor of God are you saved." Through faith. That's the means. That's how you obtained the favor of God. It's not of yourselves. You had to throw that in just to counter any thinking there was rising up in the hearts of those to whom he was writing, that all this has happened because of who I am. No, 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 no. Not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. God saves people who really don't deserve it in the least. And oftentimes he saves the most unusual people. The most unusual people. You find it in the scriptures. I mentioned the last time I was with you one such person, Zacchaeus. And then we have the thief on the cross. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that that morning when that man was aroused in the prison cell where he had spent the night, and I'm sure the warder or the soldier, whoever it was in charge, came in and shouted, "Get up! Ha ha! We're going to crucify you today." That would have been the brutal way of the soldier. Just gloating and rubbing it in that you're going to die today. That soldier didn't know, and that thief didn't know that not only was it the day he was going to be crucified, but it was the day he was going to meet the Lord and be saved. What an unusual conversion that was. And the Bible's filled with unusual conversions, and indeed, boys and girls, I want to tell you that every conversion really is unusual. You may have been brought up in a Christian family. You may have a mum and a dad who prays for you. But if you get converted, it's unusual. Because even though you have these privileges, a Christian mum and dad, a Christian home, a Christian school, a good Bible preaching church to attend, even though you have these privileges, by nature, you will go to hell. You'll ignore all these privileges. You'll trample out over all these privileges and go on to hell if God doesn't intervene and save you. So that every conversion is an unusual affair. It's not of yourselves, Paul says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now that explains the whole thing. That makes the deepest theological explanation easy to understand. How do I get saved? It's a gift from God. Why the tiniest baby? And most of you here, I would have seen as babies. And if I had come on you as a baby, with a little sweetie or something like that, like a jelly baby, something that a baby could have a wee chew at without choking, if I were to come to you and hold it out, the wee hand would come out to grab it. I never found a baby that you had to say, now baby, you have to put out your hand and take this wee gift. No! They were born with that knowledge, grabbing. In fact, what you have to teach babies is not to grab. When you lift a wee baby up, if you're wearing glasses, the first thing, they'll swipe the glasses off your nose. Yes, they will, and they'll wiggle them and hand you back a leg and another leg and a bit. That's what babies do. That's what babies do. So you have to teach them not to grab. You don't have to teach them to grab. It's so easy, boys and girls. God's offering a gift, and the gift is salvation. All you have to do, if I might use the word, is grab. Oh, how that would fill the heart of God with joy. See you grab the gift of life that he offers you through our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Savior here in Matthew chapter 25 is not saying you've got your way into heaven by your works. No, no, no. He's saying the works in your life showed that God had really saved you. And because God has really saved you and you've shown evidence of it in your life, come now, enter heaven. Tell me, are you showing signs that God has worked in your heart? No good going around and saying, oh yes, I'm saved. Because if you're saved, you'll show it. I have a tree up there in the garden. I think it's supposed to be a plum tree. If I remember right, that's what I bought it as. A plum tree, because I like plums. But that tree has never produced a plum. Not one that I can remember. So I'm going to take a saw one of these days, cut it down. It's had quite a number of years now to do something and produce fruit. But no, God expects you to produce fruit if you say you're a Christian. And if you don't produce fruit, there's no heaven. You'll be cut down. You'll be cut down. That's what the Savior is saying here then when he speaks to those on his right hand. It's the devil's lie, boys and girls, to think that we get into heaven because of how we acted and the works we did. It is man's natural religion to believe that. In all the world, there are many religions. You know that. You know there are many religions. And many of them hate each other and fight each other. You have it in India all the time. The rumpus there is between the nation of India and the nation of Pakistan, which is on at the moment. And the world's sort of trembling lest they really go to war and start dropping nuclear bombs on each other. The reason why they're at war, there are two different religions that hate each other. And throughout the world you have much religious conflict. But here's the thing. The religion that they practice in Pakistan and the religion that they practice in India, though different in name and different in its rituals, etc., is basically the same. Indeed, all false religions are basically the same. Because all false religions, whether they're Buddhist, whether they're Mohammedan, whether they're Sikhs, no matter what they are, Roman Catholic, apostate Protestantism, they all teach the same thing. When the person comes to worship in one of the churches or temples or whatever of these various religions, and they say, what do I do to get saved? They'll say, oh, if you keep this rule, keep that rule, do this, do that, you'll get to heaven. They all say the same. Now, the Muslim might say, you keep this rule, and you keep that rule, and you keep the other rule, and you do good things. And it might slightly differ from what other religions may say, but all religions say the same thing, basically. What you do will get you to heaven if what you do is good. There's only one religion in the world that says the very opposite. And it's the religion of this book. Because this book says it's not by work. It's not by work. It's by the grace of God, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, by heeding the gospel. That's how you get saved. And Bible Christianity is the only religion that says that. All the others are the same, even though they fight each other non-stop. Nevertheless, they're all of the same root. They're all born of the devil's lie. No, the Lord Jesus is not saying you're getting into heaven because of the good life you live. Rather, he's saying the good life you live shows that you are saved. And because you're saved by trusting in me, you're getting into heaven. Do you understand that? If you're not saved this morning, you're not going to heaven. And that should startle you. That should frighten the life out of you. That should alarm you, boys and girls. How are you saved today? Well, time's up. When we come back to this, I want you to think about this. I want you to notice that what the Savior says here about the sheep indicates that everything they did in their life was in order to please the Lord. Remember what he says. We'll read the words and then we'll close. I was at hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. That's what a Christian is, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus is the very center of their life. Is he the center of your life? Is he? Is he the center of your life? Or are you the center of your life? You do what you want to do. You do what pleases you. Whether or not it pleases the Lord, that's not important. It's what pleases you. Is that how you live? If it is how you live, heaven you will never see. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, let these words come home to the hearts of boys and girls. Those who are saved, Lord, let them learn, let them be instructed, let them be edified, let them be strengthened by these words. Those that are not saved, please, Lord, open their eyes through these words. Make them to realize that they need Christ, the gift of God. Lord, bless our school today. Bless the staff. Bless the mums and dads at home. Bless the pupils here, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.